Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Tonight's episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free, absolutely positively free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include that /PWP Radio. So they know we sent you. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Everybody who signs up helps support the show. Thank you very much and enjoy Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Self high five.
Hey everybody, welcome to PWP episode number, what number is this? It's been a lot. Episode number 75. Ooh, I hope everybody's having a good week, even though I just started. And we're still on the road to WrestleMania, and we're just kind of shooting the breeze today. That's the main topic. If you want to call in at 760-888-5749. Before I bring in my host, I just want to say I got the network about 2 days ago. I ordered it on Sunday night. I was kind of tired. Didn't try it until yesterday. It's interesting. I can definitely see why people could get addicted to it. It's kind of like a virtual library, really. It's pretty cool. You know, like you can look at pay-per-views from WCW, ECW. They got a lot of WWE pay-per-views. I'm not really sure what kind of specific order they're putting it in. They always have something playing live, kind of like, you know, when you're going to a movie theater. I haven't really had any issues with it. Every now and then, like, I just watched the main event. It just finished just a few minutes ago. During the Divas match, it did freeze a few times, but it was nothing significant. The freezes were very minor. It was usually like 5 seconds, and then it just kind of went back to normal. Nothing of unwatchable value is what I'm really trying to say. But I have heard people give much more negative stories, particularly people that watch the network on a video game console, especially the 360. I've heard a lot of people complain about the network on the 360. I don't know about that. But overall, it's pretty cool, and I can definitely see how people can get addicted to it. But no disrespect to those fans. I have a life. I have a job. I have a lady. I have other stuff to do. And despite that, I'm still, I know it's going to sound weird because I have the network, I'm still going to have a WrestleMania party. For those of you that don't know what that is when you get up with a bunch of friends, you go out somewhere, you order pizza, you order drinks, and you just, everybody puts in like $10 and just watches Mania. I'm still going to do that just because it's like a tradition. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody. It's always fun to watch WrestleMania with friends. And for whatever reason, my gut feeling is just telling me WWE is going to have a lot of networking issues on that day. I'm not going to take any chances. Anyway, let's just go ahead and get that out the way. I want to bring in some callers here. 732, I believe this is, who's this? This is, let me check the full number. Yes, this is TLD. I know it's TLD because I got it saved this time. And before I bring him in, I'm going to find his theme song, even though it might take a minute because this dashboard is acting very strange. I know it's you, TLD, so don't get angry or like, you know. You know what? I don't even see your theme. You're going to get angry at me. Oh, there it is. Hi. You should feel special. I found your theme. All right, it's TLD. Here we go.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm coming.
curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion. Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD. Why everything, damn it? I'm TLD.
How you doing, TLD?
I'm doing great, man. It's the middle of March, and it's snowing here in New Jersey. How could life get better than this?
Oh, well, be careful, man. I'm hearing about some dangerous mudslides in that area. Don't get killed or anything.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I appreciate that very much, though. But if this is my last radio show on this planet Earth, it's been a pleasure working with you. But, yeah, this car in this weather really fucking sucks in the middle of March. If you plan to move to New Jersey, think about this last winter and what we've had, and you might just change your mind. God damn it, I hate the damn snow, man.
Yep. I could definitely understand. All right, I want to go ahead and I'm going to bring in one more caller. I believe this is Nate from Inside Wrestling. I'm going to play a random theme for Nate that matches. I don't think it matches at all, but what the hell.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
I really like that song. Too bad he had it for like a year. What's going on, Nate?
Nah, not much. I was hoping you're going to play the new Batista theme song, I Tore My Pants.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing. In case anybody didn't see last night, Batista tore
my
his pants,
told me
man.
He tore
it was
pants. I missed it, and then I watched the replay. I'm like, my God, it wasn't like a little tore. It was a big gash. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it was a big tore. The best part was you could see the people in the front row. You could tell they noticed the tear. Because if you notice, after he speared Orton, picked up the titles, and there were like three guys in the front row, they were laughing their ass off. They clearly saw it first. Batista, man, you got to get some wife beaters or some jogging pants or something. These jeans aren't working out for you.
I'm just glad that the Beast didn't pop out, you know? Like, wow, scared of kids.
Yeah, too bad that can't happen to a diva. Anyway, what's the discussion today, TLD? TLD, where did you go? Oh,
snowstorm,
okay.
I got him.
Oh, snowstorm. He'll be back later. Bye-bye. Anyway, I'm going to ask. What, are you there, TLD?
Yeah, I've been here the whole time, man. You got some weird network connections going on.
It's Block Talk Radio. It could be the snow or Block Talk or both. Anyway, we're just kind of shooting the breeze, talking about Road to WrestleMania. I see my boy Ronnie holding up, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring in Ronnie in. So just bear with me for a second, guys. One second.
Unmuted.
Hey, you there, Ron? What's going on?
Where's my damn theme song, man?
You didn't request a theme. You didn't request one. What do you want? What kind of theme do you want?
So the brothers can't get a theme? Man,
you didn't private message me what kind of theme you wanted.
All
right, let's see what kind of theme.
Nah, that's cool.
No.
Next week, man.
No. It's too late. I'm going to give you a theme now. Watch this.
Man.
All right, introducing the enforcer, Ronnie. See? You got a theme, too.
Thanks for the cassette version of the Wolfpack theme, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, got to keep it PG for the fans and stuff. So, I know you, Ron. You always like shoot the breeze. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about last night's Raw? Or are you any more interested in WrestleMania? I mean, what's going on? What's got your interest this week?
I want to know why they got the pre-show. Like, what, is it a four-hour-long pre-show?
Right now, the pre-show has been confirmed to be 2 hours, and the actual WrestleMania card itself. Yeah, and the actual WrestleMania card itself is going to be 4 hours as usual. So if you add it up together, that's 6 hours of content. So who knows what they'll do.
Okay. I guess that tag team title match might be on the pre-show then.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate. I mean, with the Battle Royale and every diva, AJ versus the world, and Fatal 4-Way tag team match, I mean, I'm sure one of these will be on the pre-show. So,
yeah, I think that
you know, something's got to be on the
pre-show. Yeah, because I think those guys, those 16 guys are going to be in the Battle Royale too. So I think that that tag team match is going to be the pre-show. And then I don't think they want to air Ryback and those guys being on the show twice, you know. So they're going to put the guys in the pre-show.
Yeah, that makes sense. More than likely, that'll be on the pre-show. That sucks, though, because tag team matches will be good, but at least everyone's getting on the card. All right, so, Ron, do you want to stay for the rest of the show? Just want to bring you back occasionally?
Yeah, bring me back. I'll let you know, because I'm going to be in and out, so.
All right. I'll bring you back in.
I'll let you know, man. I'll be here.
All right. Okay. All right, I'm going to bring back TLD. You're going to bring back Will. All right, guys. So what's basically the story? What do you guys want to start at this week? You want to start at the Raw review? You want to talk WrestleMania? What's going on?
I was wondering that guy when you played the Wolfpack thing, did he tear his quad or no? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
No. What were you saying, TLD?
What I wanted to talk about was, you know, you said there's going to be a two-hour show live on the WWE Network ahead of time. You know, they're really starting to treat this more like a Super Bowl now, like having the two-hour pre-shows. You know, they'll probably have some NXT matches on that pre-show, which I think would be kind of cool. But honestly, right now there's only 7 matches on the card. That's really it. So I wouldn't be surprised if none of those matches are on the pre-show. I wouldn't be surprised if they just have either an NXT match or if they do, you know, they might do one. Maybe they might do the tag match, you know, but they're going to have an 8-match card. So, and they haven't announced any music guests at the show yet. So who knows right now, you know, if there's anything to be on the pre-show or not. But, you know, it's a pretty small match card this year, which I'm pretty happy. I like it a lot when they have not as many matches on the show.
Yeah, that's true. They might do they did a WrestleMania 2000. There was this WrestleMania 2000, they had this very, very long kind of mini documentary where it basically just kind of summed up every WrestleMania, but I doubt they'll do that. What they usually do in these pre-shows, and, you know, to anyone that's never, because there's a lot of fans out there that will watch pay-per-views in other ways that I will not speak of, but never actually order a pay-per-view. What they tend to do for these big shows is, you know, they like to hype up each match. They'll have, like, you know, different commentators, not the main ones, but lesser-known commentators, and sometimes wrestlers, nothing to do, like Alex Riley. They'll just, you know, talk about the show, and, you know, they'll show, like, the fan interactions from, you know, Mania Access and all that stuff. You know, they got 2 hours, you know, but I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement. They're going to put something on the pre-show, and more than likely the tag team match will do. They tend to put tag team matches on pre-shows anyway, so. But like you said, TLD, the card is looking relatively small, but as long as each match gets time, I don't have an issue with it. Is there any particular matches that right now you're interested in, Nate?
The Cena-Bray Wyatt match, I like to see how that works out. And, yeah, I'm starting to wonder just more and more about this Triple H-Bryan thing. I think it might end up being a Fatal 4-Way match. I don't even know why, but I think something's going to happen. You know, I hope not, but it'll make it interesting if it is.
Yeah, I think I don't know about you guys, but my worst fear for Mania 30 is I'm afraid my worst fear is that this show ends up like Mania 2000. Mania 2000 is notorious for basically having a shitload of gimmick matches, but there wasn't a single one-on-one match on the card, I believe. There may have been one or two. Actually, I think the cat fought somebody. Whatever that singles match, it wasn't an important match. I know that much. It was like 2 minutes, but like it was a lot of gimmick matches, and it was very convoluted and it was confusing. Like at the time, there was a lot of hype, but if you go back and watch the show, it was just you know, that's my worst fear about Mania 30. I mean, they definitely seem content with putting everybody on the card, but that's very nice though. You know, they're just trying to get people the payday, so. It is what it is. What about UTOD? What match in particular are you looking forward to?
I gotta be honest, I'm actually looking forward to almost everything on the card. I love the Battle Royal idea. I think that's really gonna get over. They still have 5 spots that didn't fill. I have a feeling they're gonna put some special people in that match. So I think that'll be kind of great to see some legends come back. I do like the addition of the Shield, Kane, and the New Age Outlaws. I think that's a pretty interesting way of how we all thought the Shield was gonna break up, how that was gonna change. You know, that was gonna be a triple threat. But obviously, because they moved the triple threat match for the main event, they had to kind of switch stuff around, and that's the route they went. So I am looking forward to seeing that. I think every, you know, I'm not too sure what the Divas are doing. I think from what I'm reading, it's a one fall to a finish, I think, from what I read on WWE's website. But if there was a match that I would really say I'm looking forward to, I would say Triple H and Daniel Bryan, only because there's a lot of investment. There's enough build-up to make this look like a really solid match, and especially after the beatdown that happened 2 weeks ago or a week ago, you know, I think everyone has a real investment in that match, and I'm really looking forward to that one, I think, the most. Because there's obviously a big outcome to what happens and how that main event's going to be.
All right, so in reference to what you just said about the Divas, you know, to anyone listening that didn't watch Raw yesterday, it's been confirmed that AJ Lee is going to be defending her Divas title, and something being described as the Vicky Guerrero Divas Invitational. And pretty much it's AJ versus the world. Pretty much the entire Divas roster is in the match. I'll go ahead and read through them to any fans that are interested. You got Cameron. You have Trinity or Naomi. You got Brie Bella. The Bellas are in the match. Emma's in the match. Summer Rae's in the match. Tamina's in the match. Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, Alicia Fox, the returning Layla. I think I pretty much went over all of them. But, yeah, 14 Divas in all. All of them are in the match. Pretty much like you said, TLD, no idea how this match is going to work. It's just being described as invitational. If you go on the corporate website, it says it's a single fall to a finish. But if that's the case, I don't understand how that works. I mean, is it just going to be like all 14 of them going at it at the same time? It just seems convoluted. My first thought was it was going to be a gauntlet match, but again, I mean, WrestleMania tends to have these very long ramps. Yeah, they have these very long ramps. I can't see them doing a gauntlet match. Again, I hate to bring back WrestleMania 2000, but at WrestleMania 2000, there was a similar match called a Hardcore Invitational where it was like a bunch of guys fighting for 20 minutes, and when the time ran out, whoever was the Hardcore Champion was the Hardcore Champion. I could see them doing that, but I don't really know how they're going to do this, but for you history bluffs out here, this is the very first time the Divas title will be defended at WrestleMania. Yes, the Women's Championship has been defended at WrestleMania, but this is the very first time that the Divas title has ever been defended, so AJ Lee will be making history regardless if she wins or loses. I couldn't tell you the last time the Women's title was defended at WrestleMania. Let's see, it wasn't 29-8. Or 6, so it had to have been like 23 or 24. All I can tell you was the last women's feud that really led or amounted to anything at WrestleMania was Mickie James versus Trish Stratus. That was the lesbian kind of hot psycho thing that was kind of cool back then. Good times. No idea what they're going to do, but I'm very, very certain that someone from Total Divas more than likely is going to win the title, you know, just for promotion sakes, so... Do you have any predictions for that, TLD?
There's been a lot of talk that a certain Bella might win with a certain, you know, husband of hers to win, too. So that's kind of been a rumor going around. It would actually be kind of cool to see that you have, like, Nikki's the one married to Brian, right?
No, Brie.
Yeah, I thought Brie was.
Yeah, Brie, you're right.
I'm sorry. Brie, you know... Brie's actually been doing pretty good in the ring. They're a lot better than they used to be, I can tell you that. You can see they definitely put the work in. So I give them credit to definitely turning it up in the ring. I think Naomi's really, really great. I think she's going to be something going forward. But I definitely see a Total Diva winning it. It makes sense. They're promoting the Divas. They got to go with it. You know, it makes sense. You know, but, you know, we never know. It's a very, you know, 14 people in this match, you know. Odds are your pick is not very good to win, but who knows?
Yeah, I was at first, if they want to do everything, how I do it, I just do it elimination style. Just start off with all 14 divas. Or you could be really weird about it. You could even do what TNA does back in their old days. You can have, like, I don't know, all 14 divas start off, and then you got to eliminate the diva by throwing them between the ropes or whatever divas do. And I guess, like, when it comes down to, like, four people, it just turns into, like, old-fashioned style. But who knows what they'll do. I mean, this is going to be, visually speaking, this is going to be an interesting match regardless of how it's booked, because this is really the first time the Divas division has had any real attention at WrestleMania in a very long time. And really, you're going to be seeing all the Divas currently on the roster in the ring. So it's going to be a mixture of the past, the present, and I guess in some ways the future. Layla,
oh, Emma,
just a little small note on Layla. Layla, to me, is just... Layla is very good in the ring. She has a very interesting personality. I'm not really sure what Layla's deal is. She's been off and on in WWE for some time now, but a lot of fans really don't talk about it, mostly because most fans just sadly don't care about the Divas division. I know for a fact, I can confirm this, that she was actually due for a gimmick change not too long ago. She was going to have a gimmick kind of similar to what Lady Gaga, the singer, does, where she was like going to change her look and wear these flashy clothes, and she was going to have like the paparazzi follow her, kind of like what Melina did back with Eminem. But for whatever reason, it didn't work out. WWE changed their mind. I know that she's had some knee injuries before, but I've always thought that she was a very good talent and was just sort of there. You know, when she was with, you know, Michelle McCool with Lay Cool, you know, she never was really given that time to shine because Michelle always took the spotlight. I would like to see more of Layla, but, you know, if she doesn't want to do anything, she doesn't want to do anything. But it's definitely going to be a cool match visually, you know, just to look at it. So, TLD, I asked your opinion already. Nate, do you have any opinion about this match? Do you care who's going to win or no?
I was just thinking, like, sitting here, I was thinking, you know, if they were going to do a gauntlet match, it would have been fine. If not, just have, like, the rest of the Divas of 13, like, in a battle royal, and then the last one standing faces AJ, you know? I think a gauntlet match would be okay. Or, like you were saying, what TNA does, if they get down to the Final Four, they do, like, a Final Four match or something. Yeah, it'll be kind of weird if one fall with 14 people. I don't know, it's like a clusterfuck of people trying to look for a pin. You know, I think a gauntlet match or like an elimination battle royal and then the final two or three against each other or something would be better.
All right, so moving on to the next topic. Normally we don't discuss spoilers, but this is a special case because I'm not really considering it a spoiler anyway, because just given off what's been going on TV, many people came to this conclusion anyway. If you go to the PWP page, folks, it's already been posted. A lot of fans go to SmackDown tapings, and, you know, when they have, like, the visual graphic for what's next, a lot of fans tend to take pictures, and then they upload it on the net, and I'm not going to really consider this a spoiler because many people already knew it was coming. But the tag team match has already been confirmed. We already discussed about it briefly earlier, or hinted it. It's going to be the Usos defending their tag team titles against the Real Americans, Ryback, because Curtis Axel and Ryback. And for whatever fucking reason, Los Matadores are in this match in a fatal four-way. Yeah, this pisses me off, and I don't want to sound like your typical IWC guy saying, oh, you know, Cody deserves to be in, and Goldust deserves to be in. And the reason I think the Rose Brothers deserve to be in the match is because there really wasn't much going on during the fall last year, 2013. You know, that during that time period, guys remember the time period where Cena took that leave, and then they kind of let Brian carry it, and, you know, it was just Brian just kind of getting destroyed every week by the Authority. You know, the booking wasn't very good. You know, during that particular time, the Rose Brothers, they consistently stole the show, had a match of the night, whether it was on pay-per-view, whether it was on Raw, SmackDown. Fans were into them, and I feel like, you know, they really revitalized, like, the really good – well, I wouldn't say revitalized because the Shield were putting on good tag team matches too. But, like, basic two-on-two tag matches, the Rose Brothers really got a lot of fans interested in that kind of stuff again. And I think they deserve to be in this match. But for whatever reason, they're not in this match. I don't know who Cody or Goldust pissed off. It is what it is. They're going to be in the Battle Royale, though, so at least they'll be on the card. But, yes, Los Matadores will be – end this match for whatever fucking reason, whatever. So it's a fatal four-way. Safe to say, Los Matadores, they're just here. They're just bodies. They're not going to win. Ryback, though, they're not going to win. So it's obviously coming down to the Usos and the Real Americans. You know, I like the Real Americans. They're cool, but I think it's a little bit too late to put titles on them. I think too many fans are invested in Cesaro at this point. So maybe if you would put the belts on Real Americans, like, I don't know, 3 months ago, that would have been cool. I think it would be an entertaining match, and I think the Usos more than likely will go over. And like Ronnie said at the beginning of the show, I think more than likely that would be probably a pre-show match. That's what I'm thinking. TOD, what do you think about this tag team match?
Yeah, you know, we already knew that Ryback, and we knew, you know, the Real Americans were going to be in it. Well, I'm happy because I thought the Real Americans should not have been in the Battle Royal. I'm glad they kind of switched that, put them in a tag match. I think Real Americans versus Usos would have just been fine, just that match. But Baxel, you know, everyone needs a spot on the card, right? Los Matadores didn't have a spot yet. That's where they went in. You know, they technically did beat Baxel on Raw, even though with the interference by the Shield. You know, don't be surprised if Cody and Goldust are the last two in the Rumble. That could make a reason why they're not in it. Then I would see it making sense. But if it's going to be, you know, I don't know. Maybe they just want them in a big spot in the Battle Royal, or maybe the tag match is on the pre-show and they'd rather just have them on the main show. I don't know. But you know what? Los Matadores are good. They can move in the ring. I'm not worried about them not having a good match. I think they're going to be, you know, they're a perfect tag team against the Real Americans, and I think the Usos are a great tag team against Ryback. So I think it's still going to be a good match regardless, even though a lot of fans may not be happy that Cody and Goldust are not in that match. I'm just glad that it was a fit of four a tag. You know, it's actually funny. This is turning into WrestleMania 2000 a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at the WrestleMania 2000 card right now, and it was just gimmick match. To this day, a lot of fans were upset at the main event. Many fans felt like it just should have been The Rock versus Triple H. The only thing I can think of, because, you know, sometimes I can be a harsh critic for the WWE product, the only thing I can think of is thinking about it from a WWE standpoint, because if you remember, Stone Cold and The Undertaker were injured during this time. I've always heard a myth that their plan was to have Austin Taker at WrestleMania 2000. But they were injured around this time, so neither Austin or Taker were viable guys they could use. So just thinking about it from WWE's point of view, I'm just thinking maybe they brought in Mick Foley in the Big Show. Maybe they didn't trust The Rock and Triple H to draw by itself. Because if you remember earlier that year, Triple H, quote-unquote, retired Mick Foley, if you remember that. So, you know, bringing Mick Foley in was a big moment, and the Big Show was just sort of there. But, yeah, to the listeners out there, just go back and look at the WrestleMania 2000 card and then look at the Mania 30 card, and you'll see a lot of similarities, just a lot of gimmick matches. I'm sorry, what were you saying, TOD?
No, I don't think it's a lot of gimmick matches, just a lot of non-one-on-one. There's only Undertaker and Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan and Triple H. I think that's the only two matches that have a one-on-one scenario, which, you know, is better than, but they're two really, really important matches on the card. So I think fans are still going to be happy because there's a lot of action. And I think that's what's going to sell this pay-per-view. There's a lot of action going on in the ring. I think a Battle Royal, you know, is a big deal. They're making it into a big deal. Anyway, I think every match, I mean, at least the titles are being defended. You know, the IC titles and the U.S. are the only two not being defended this year, you know, but the two guys that are the champions are in two important matches. So it's, you know, it's funny how it's going, you know, how this year is going. But I'm actually excited about the card. I'm really disappointed in how they have built these up. I don't know why. I'm just not really, like, upset.
Yeah. Another match that we can talk about, they confirmed it last night on Raw. And this was another one of those matches that many people saw coming. The Shield against the Authority, Kane, and the New Age Outlaws, Road Dogg, and Billy Gunn. This is going to be a six-man tag. This will be the Shield's second six-man tag. Wouldn't it be cool, like in a perfect fantasy world, wouldn't it be cool if, like, the Shield had, like, a six-man streak or something? Like, what if they had a six-man tag every year? It started like a tag team streak like Taker. Of course, that would never happen. But, yeah, this will be their second WrestleMania match. They're going to be fighting Kane and New Age Outlaws. Not really feeling the story. It's just sort of there. But, you know, I like the Shield. So they looked really good last night. Seth Rollins, you know, had a great performance in his match last night. I'm seeing a lot of people join the Seth Rollins bandwagon, a lot of posers. So many people were saying, oh, Seth Rollins is the weak link. Now these same fans are like, oh, my God, Seth Rollins bandwagon fans. But I don't know about you guys, but the Shield last night, they kind of reminded me of Team 3D. Or the Dudley Boys, whatever you want to call them, like, they kind of gave off, like, that badass, likable team that just kind of kicks your ass, like, somewhere in between APA and the Dudley Boys. I think they can work as baby faces, like, as long as, like, they don't talk that much. But, anyway, this will be a good match. Not really interested in the result of it. I mean, it's just sort of there. I think the Bills just kind of been just kind of weird. I don't really get what they're doing with the Shield. Let's start with you, Nate.
This was a CM Punk spot that they're kind of like.
Yeah.
The whole thing. You gotta understand that, but you know, and again, because of the triple threat match at the main event, if they were gonna turn the Shield, which I think they were going to do, they had to call an audible because of that. So now they had the Outlaws. They changed everything around because of the triple threat match. I think that when they did that, they had to reschedule a lot of stuff around. The Outlaws lost the tag titles. A lot of people thought that maybe going into Mania they were going to be the champions still. I think they called an audible on that. The Shield didn't break up, so they called an audible on that. So I think there was a couple audibles made after the main event was switched around, after the way the fans were reacting. So that's where I see why they did what they did. But I'm still interested in the Outlaws, you know, with Kane, which is a very odd concept. If you go back to the Attitude Era, that's a very odd-looking team, you know, going forward. I mean, it's the Suits versus the Shield, if you like to look at it that way. A bunch of Suit guys against the Shield. So they got a SmackDown. They have a Raw. They have another SmackDown to build it up. You know, they can get it really important. But I think the Shield last night, to your point, was really strong last night. My God, the carnage that they did definitely made them strong. And especially if you watch SmackDown and saw how they got their ass kicked.
Yeah. What about you, Nate? Do you think that the build to this match has been a little unusual? Do you see anything big coming out of this match, Nate, or are you looking forward to it?
No, it'll be a good match. I mean, that guy on the Shield works in the ring. Yeah, basically, WrestleMania 30 should be called Get Your Payday, because look at all these people they're adding into these cards and stuff. And Triple H's buddies is in the match, New Age Outlaws to get paid. I just hope, like we were saying on my weekend show, that they don't turn, like Rollins and Ambrose don't turn on Roman Reigns and then go as a heel tag team. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen because I think Roman Reigns is a big babyface push. I think they're going to say that for later on in the year. But, no, it'll be a good match. Shield's good to watch in the ring, and Kane can still hold his own. So it should be an interesting match. It's a little odd with the Outlaws being added, but, you know, it's just payday for Triple H's buddy. So no biggie. Yeah.
All right.
Get your pay. Get your cheddar, you know. WrestleMania 30.
All right. And on that note, it's time for some butthurt. A lot of people are I don't think a lot of people are going to be angry. I think this is going to be a mixture of emotions. Now we're going to talk about the anticlimactic, lackluster build of The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Where do I even start here? Okay, so Brock Lesnar comes back, and he wants a match. He wants to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. The authorities like, fuck you, we're not giving you a shot. And so they throw the Big Show at him. He takes out Big Show. There's a really cool segment with him and Batista and Randy Orton, which is cool. Because Lesnar never worked with Batista in WWE. They worked in OVW. They didn't work in WWE. And then Randy Orton, like, he worked with Lesnar, but that was back when, like, when Orton was, like, a jobber. Orton never worked with Lesnar when he was, you know, a main eventer. I thought that was very – you could have done some interesting matchups there. WWE said no to that. So then they did this little story where Lesnar could fight whoever he wanted, and then Taker comes back, choke slams him through a table. Okay. Out of that, that's really all they've done. Paul Heyman comes out, cuts these promos about Taker and his streak and stuff, facts we already know. And, you know, last night was supposed to be, like, you know, the first time in a while that Lesnar and Taker were in the same ring. And Taker pretty much just scared off Lesnar, and that was the end of the show. There was a little segment on Main Event a few weeks back where Taker scared Heyman and said, tell Brock I'll be in Brooklyn. What I'm really trying to say is this build has been very, very boring. For a Taker feud, very boring. What kind of annoys me the most is, like, what the commentators have, they've acknowledged it, but, like, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, they have not acknowledged in the promos, is that The Undertaker has actually never defeated Brock Lesnar. Not in a straight-up match he hasn't. I thought that they would bring that up, and they haven't even brought that up. So it's kind of like they're just ignoring, like, they're ignoring the fact Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are, like, ignoring the fact that it didn't happen, just like they ignored that Taker Triple H did happen at WrestleMania 17. I find this build to be extremely anticlimactic. I love Taker, but just every year it's getting harder and harder to defend him. It just seems every year Taker's angles seem to be more rushed, more phoned in with less effort. And it's just, I'm just kind of scratching my head. Like, if you weren't even going to put in effort, like, why are you here? I don't want to sound disrespectful to Taker, because I like Taker. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. But, yeah, they got 1 week left to build this. I hope they do something. I mean, I understand Taker is getting older, and they don't want to risk injury. I get that. But you got to do something. Come on, like, it's Mania 30. You know, WrestleMania 30, Taker versus Brock Lesnar. Like, I should be hyped for this match. But I'm just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just me. TLD, do you find this build to be very lackluster and anticlimactic?
No, I think you're probably the only one in that boat, but this match to me sells itself. We know about the UFC interaction. We know The Undertaker has not, I don't think it has to be brought up for people to not know about it. I don't think it's even somewhat relevant in a way, because the match to me has already sold itself. I thought that just having that match at Mania, knowing their history, you know, as a historian, I don't need WWE to bring it up to talk about it, because I know about it. So now that may not be the whole audience, but to me, I think the match sells itself. Just like, you know, and as far as all the feuds in the past, it's a climactic. Last year was very climactic, especially after what happened with Paul Bearer. I think the whole idea of the Hell in the Cell with Triple H was a big deal. So I disagree with you in that part where they've been anticlimactic. I don't agree with that at all. If you want to go back to anticlimactic, you go back to Albert and Big Show and his Taker. Now, that was something. But other than that, you know, and then you have Boss Man, and you have, you know, they didn't bring that up during the Hell in the Cell talk of 2 years ago. You know, but no one wanted to bring that up, obviously. So I have to disagree with you. I don't think they have to do anything special. Taker was on Main Event, but they didn't have to do that. You know, obviously they're trying to sell the network, but you can see that they are making a big deal out of it. I don't find it anticlimactic. They're just playing mind games. It's all mind games, you know, to get to Lesnar's head. That's the whole idea of the storyline. So I don't think it's been anticlimactic. I don't think it's necessary.
Oh, what about you, Nate? How do you feel about this feud?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really need a big build. The match sells itself. I mean, it could be The Undertaker versus a broomstick. It's, you know, it's The Undertaker, so everyone wants to see it, you know. The only problem I really have is, you know, Brock Lesnar just getting his ass kicked every time. You know, he got his ass kicked by Triple H. You know, no give back to The Undertaker. So hopefully this Monday, you know, Brock Lesnar gets something. You know, maybe some kind of thing with The Undertaker's in the ring trying to call out Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar's on the Jumbotron saying, I'm not going to come out, and then he comes out from behind and, you know, F5's The Undertaker. Just something, Brock Lesnar, just look, make him look a little bit strong and cast a little doubt that he's, you know, he's going to lose to The Undertaker. You know, he's going to win, he's going to beat The Undertaker. So, but, I mean, the build sells itself. It's just The Undertaker. It doesn't matter who he's fighting against. And, I mean, a lot of people are making not a really a big deal about the streak. Because, I mean, if you look at some of the opponents he fought at WrestleMania, King Kong, Bundy, and Giant Gonzalez, they're already saying, like, the streak really didn't really count or start until he fought Orton in 2004. So, I mean, it sells itself. It's fine. I just don't like seeing Brock getting his ass kicked everywhere. I wish he'd get an upper hand. So hopefully Monday he gets his against The Undertaker.
All right, with that said, we're going to move on to the Andre the Giant battle. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. All right, now, these are the people that have been confirmed. Big E, Fandango, The Real, Ziggler, Sandow, Titus O'Neil, Christian, Sheamus, Big Show, Mark Henry, The Miz, Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, Brodus Clay, Darren Young, Justin Gabriel, Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, Santino Marella, Great Khali, Zack Ryder, and Sin Cara. So they got some spaces for some other guys still. It's not filled up yet. It's just a battle royale. We've already gone over this more than enough on PWP Radio. Getting people on the car for a payday. Battle royales are always fun. Can't really predict the winner here. You know, in the past, they've had battle royales in WrestleMania, and really the winner just always seems to be random. There's always, like, no rhyme or reason to it. I remember when Yoshitatsu won in, like, WrestleMania 26, and he hasn't been seen ever since. I remember when Booker T won. I don't even remember what year it was, but there was some battle royale that he won. The only battle royale I can recall where it meant something was the one at WrestleMania 24, where the winner got a shot at the ECW title, and Kane won that one, and then he beat Chavo later that night for the title. So not really predicting this one. I think this is just here, you know, just for fans to enjoy. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take WWE's word for this. Apparently they're going to attempt to turn this into a yearly thing, and that would be cool. You know, that's a great way to get, you know, the undercard guys on the card. So, you know, if they're going to have this be on the main show and then have it be, you know, like on a pre-show, my recommendation would be to put this after the Undertaker's match, because Taker's matches tend to kill the crowd. Not as in boring, but like so exciting and dectifying that fans are just kind of, you know, they're fatigued, they're exhausted, and, you know, it's really hard to follow that. So if I was booking this, I would have this to be after Taker's match. We've already discussed this battle royale more than enough times, but just for sake, TLD, do you have any final things to add to the battle royale?
No, I think I agree with the match placement idea, because that is going to be a problem. That happened to last year, Brock Lesnar and Triple H. A lot of people were tired after the CM Punk Undertaker match. I know, I was there. The crowd was just really shitting on that match, and it wasn't a bad match. I don't know why people think. I just think that they saw that CM Punk, their internet darling, who no longer exists in the company, you know, against The Undertaker, and that was a big match feel. And then when they had that match come up right after, I think a lot of people were a little tired of it, and that's why that happened. So match placement is definitely important. It's like a science almost on how you have to structure how this works. I do see that being a good idea to put it at the end, after the Undertaker match, or after at least Daniel Bryan, maybe Triple H. You know, they have one of those two. You know, so as far as the people, like I said, the big thing to me is that everyone is on it, but also there's some empty spots that haven't been filled yet.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's possible they could maybe even put in a few legends for a one-night-only thing, you know, just for a pop. We'll have to see. Nate, do you have any final comments on the Battle Royale?
No, like I was saying on my show, hopefully whoever wins gets something down the line, an IC title shot or go for the world title or something. Hopefully it just leads something to a push, you know. I don't want to see Sin Cara win and he drops the trophy, botches the trophy or something. But no, hopefully it just leads to a title shot down the line.
All righty. Well, there's no point really talking about these main event matches, because we can just save that for next week or for, you know, any pre-show that we do for Mania. You know, there's going to already be more than enough discussion about that. Let's go ahead and let's just end the WrestleMania talk right quick. We really haven't gone over Raw that much. We kind of covered Raw indirectly by, you know, building up to WrestleMania. TLD, did you watch Raw last night? And if so, what did you think about the show?
I thought the show was good. I was dozing off a lot. That's just not because Raw was bad. I was just super tired yesterday, you know, so that was me. I thought the ending was kind of cool with the whole casket thing. You know, he's done that before. It's always kind of a cool sight when they do that. I thought Stephanie slapping Batista, breaking his glass, was kind of funny. You know, some of the interaction they talked about. We already talked about the ripped pants. You know, that brother's got to get some looser pants, man. He's got to go to the Gap, and he's got to get some looser pants, man. Can't be getting those tight jeans anymore. So he's got to, you know, all this different, all this new gear that he's getting is like too small for him. You know, especially in wrestling. You got to get some loose shit. Overall, I mean, I thought the Shield did a great, they built the Shield up pretty strong last night. There was a good tag match. I forget what the match was. And also the John Cena-Luke Harper match was a really good match, too. So overall, I thought the wrestling was good. Oh, yeah, the Fatal 4-Way was really good. That was a really good match. They really built up that IC title, you know, shot. And those guys really were great last night.
Yeah, that was a great match. Nate, what did you feel about Raw last night? Did you watch it? And if so, did you think it was a good show?
Yeah, I think it was lacking a little bit. Yeah, I like the Stephanie slapping Batista and, you know, Batista ripping his pants. That was funny, but no, it was okay. I just hope, like, next week's show, it's a go-home show, so it'll probably just be a filler with a bunch of promos and stuff and some matches probably with people that aren't really on the main card. I just hope, like I said, Orton gets the upper hand and then Lesnar gets the upper hand, but I thought Raw was okay, but, you know, I was dozing off on some of the segments, especially when Triple H talks. He just puts me to sleep. But, last week the Raw was good. It felt like WrestleMania 30, and then this week they took their foot off the gas pedal, and I don't know. It was just a little bit off last night, but it was okay showing it. Some decent spots.
I thought the crowd was good, and I think one of the things that may have led to Raw being a little bit weird was there was a lot of co-advertising. You know, they were advertising that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They were advertising, you know, the whole Scooby-Doo thing. Like, there were a lot of, you know, other stuff that was kind of weird to put in the middle of a Mania build. So,
I wish Stone Cold was at Raw last night because he would have stunned Scooby-Doo. Or, yeah, he would have, Robin would have stunned her.
That would have been a great visual. All right, we totally brushed over this John Cena-Wyatt family feud. I'm actually not interested in this feud. This isn't like the typical like John Cena hate. I'm not into this feud. I'm not into it. To me, it's a very one-sided feud. That's really all I got to say about it. Whether or not Wyatt wins, whether or not Cena wins, I really don't care. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say. I don't really care about this match, but I know there's other fans out there that do care. Like, I'm pretty sure you care a lot more, TLD. What are your opinions about Bray Wyatt versus John Cena? What's your initial thought about this feud in general? Do you think this is a big feud? What are your predictions?
Curious.
That's
a match. That's another singles match. I forgot to mention that. That was another singles match on the card. It's not that I forgot about it. It's just, I do like the build-up. I think it's important because we need a big heel going forward in 2014, and I think Bray Wyatt is the key to that. I could see him being champion by the end of the year, and that's just not – and it's because of the gimmick, and I think the gimmick works, and he's trying to manipulate, and I like the playing a couple mind games with John Cena, and they screwed him out of the title twice, you know, trying to make – John Cena basically turned heel. That's what his goal is, to try to bring out the true John Cena. I think John Cena's going to do some crazy stuff in this match to kind of look like, you know, Bray's trying to, like, to coax him to doing some things. So, you know, it's been okay feud. A lot of vignette feud. It's a big vignette feud. Not too much action between the two guys. So last night was actually kind of cool where they put him, tied him up in the ropes, put the goat face on him. Kind of a very weird visual to watch and see, you know. But, you know, it's hard to say who's going to go over in this match. I really don't know. Bray Wyatt has not – I don't think he's lost a singles match yet in the WWE. I don't think so.
It's very interesting. This is the first time ever that John Cena is not in a title match and not in a main event match either. So this is a first for Cena. Just based off that alone, yeah, that says a lot right there. Based off that alone, makes me think that Cena could lose here. I don't even see this being a co-main event. I see that going to, like, Taker Lesnar at the most. I see this being, like, maybe fourth or fifth match, somewhere, like, in the middle of the card. But, yeah, you know, this is cool. I see this feud for what it is. I think the main reason I can't really get into this feud is when I look at it, it just kind of reminds me of the Hogan-Jake the Snake Roberts feud that they wouldn't pull the trigger on because they were afraid of Hogan getting booed. You know, we exist in an era now where fans have more freedom to, you know, to basically cheer and boo who they want, and John Cena gets mixed reactions wherever he goes anyway. Booed against Bray Wyatt isn't really as big of a deal compared to Hulk Hogan being booed to Jake Roberts. But overall, this should be a good match, and like you just said, the fact that this is not a title match and it's not a main event, that right there shows you that it's definitely a changing of the guard. I mean, more or less, that's really how long someone's run can go, is a decade. Any longer than that, and fans tend to turn. Well, fans have already turned on Cena. But
they've been turning for the second year. So, you know, it's just that there was nowhere else for him to be on this show. And why not help out a guy that's, you know, who's becoming one of the top heels in the company? It's a heel versus face, and I think if Cena loses, it won't hurt him, but I think it's going to start seeing Cena's decline or less interaction with the championship belt. They have some new guys they are building up. They have The Shield. They have, you know, Daniel Bryan. They're building up those two guys as faces. They got Big E. They're building him up as a face. They need more faces in the company other than John Cena, and that's what this is intending to do for the future of the WWE. And John Cena has to start taking that back seat because they can't build someone new unless they start just like Hulk Hogan has to take a back seat at some point. You know, and he did that, you know, eventually when they had to do it. You know, like WrestleMania 9 was a perfect example where Hogan was in the co-main event, but eventually got put in the main event, but he didn't need to really be there. So, you know, Bret Hart could have beaten Yokozuna, or Yokozuna could have won, and they could have built up something afterwards, but they didn't need to have that title change. And this is where John Cena's got to stay back, and now they got to start building new stars, because Cena's not going to be there much longer. He's got, what, 5 years left? Not even? So start building these guys up. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I would agree there. All right, I want to spend the last few minutes of the show talking about Impact Wrestling and some of the stuff that they're doing. Last week's Impact Wrestling, they had Willow. He took out EC3. EC3 was fighting Bobby Lashley in the opening match. Lashley looked pretty good, and, you know, EC3 tried to run away, and then Willow kind of took him out. I like what they're doing with Willow. It's very interesting. You know, it's kind of like a Cactus Jack, Dude Love kind of deal going on there. You know, they are acknowledging that it's Jeff Hardy, but at the same time, it's more like of a different persona of Hardy. He needed something new. You got the beautiful people. You got Angelina Love and Velvet Sky reuniting. And then you have Madison Rayne essentially saying that, you know, Angelina Love always spoke down on her, and she's going to do her own thing, be a Knockouts champion, and then you had Angelina Love take her out. I pretty much saw that coming. You got all these vignettes building up Kenny King, which is cool. He's a great talent. He's a great, great X Division star. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with him. It was a really good tag team match with Tigre Uno and Sonata against the Bromans and the Wolves, and the Bromans they retained via heel shenanigans as a heel tag team should. And then you had Samoa Joe fighting Magnus, and I wasn't really too crazy about the match, mostly because of Abyss MVP being handcuffed together. I hate that stipulation in wrestling. If you want someone barred from ringside, just bar him from ringside. Why would you be handcuffed to him? I hate that stipulation. It's so stupid. Overall, though, I thought Impact Wrestling was just, you know, another decent show. TOD, did you check out Impact Wrestling last week? And if so, what do you think about the show? And what do you think about the current direction of the product?
Well, I'll be honest. I think right now talking about Razor Ramon going to the Hall of Fame is more important to me than Impact Wrestling, because I thought Impact Wrestling was okay, but I don't think anything big happened to it. But to me, I think more importantly, I think Razor Ramon going to the Hall of Fame is something we didn't talk about. I think that deserves some importance.
All right, well, we'll just go ahead and go into a roundtable discussion. I've already made my opinions known. Some people agree with me. Some people disagree with me. I'm a big Scott Hall fan, but I don't believe that he deserves to be – I don't believe that he's a Hall of Fame-worthy person. But from what I'm seeing, it seems like they're not inducting Scott Hall. They're inducting Razor Ramon, which can be confusing. To add to why I don't – see, here's the thing. Like, I like Scott Hall. I grew up a WCW guy, so I'm always going to call him Scott Hall. And I understand those that grew up watching WWE, they're going to call him Razor Ramon. So it is what it is. But the main point I'm making is I like Scott Hall. He's one of my favorite wrestlers growing up as a kid. I love this gimmick. I love this personality. I think Scott Hall is cool. But in my opinion, this is just how I feel about it, I don't believe that he really had a Hall of Fame-worthy career. In the grand scheme, what did he really do? He had a cool character. He had a cool gimmick. He had a lot of great matches with Shawn Michaels. He won the Intercontinental Championship, which does mean something. It may not mean something now, but the title did mean something then. I believe he won it like four times, which was a record back then. But, you know, outside of the ladder match, you know, and being an Intercontinental Champion, like what did he really do? It just sort of ended there. You know, he didn't win a world title in either promotion. He didn't win it in WWF, and he didn't win it in WCW, and there's a reason he didn't. It's because he couldn't add any new layers to his character. You know, even when he went to WCW Scott Hall, he was essentially the same guy. He couldn't add any new layers. Guys like Stone Cold, guys like The Rock, guys like Shawn Michaels, guys like Bret Hart, they were able to evolve and add new layers to the characters. They were able to be from good guy to bad guy to good guy to bad guy and just have different gimmicks. Scott Hall / Razor Ramon never did that, and that's why he never won the big one, in my opinion. Now, if you're going to say you're going to induct the NWO, you know, like Hogan, Hall, and Nash, if you're going to induct them, that'd be cool. I'll be cool with that. If you're going to induct Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, the Outsiders, as a tag team, if you're going to induct them, that'd be cool. But in my opinion, I don't believe that Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, whatever you want to do, I love the guy. I'm happy he's doing better in life. I'm happy that DDP gave him the yoga thing. You know, I'm happy that he's seeing his son more. So I just want to make this clear. This is not a hate thing. I love Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, whatever you want to call him. I love him. But I just don't believe that by himself, he really had a Hall of Fame-worthy career, and that's really how I feel about it. But regardless, congrats to him, you know, and again, more importantly, I'm happy that he's doing well, and I'm sure the visual of him, Jake, and DDP, you know, hugging and embracing at the Hall of Fame will be a cool visual, and, you know, congrats to him. So that's really all I got to say about Razor Ramon / Scott Hall. All right, what about you, TLD?
I think Razor Ramon was a very important character in the WWE only because he was the first bad guy that was cool. There wouldn't be a bad guy that was cool before him. There's not one that you could ever name other than him that just based on reaction of the crowd, he just changed only because people just wanted to be like him. And I thought his four-time Reigns Intercontinental Champion was very important. His creativity and the moves were great. Him and Shawn Michaels had a tremendous feud. A ladder match that to this day, you know, is very hard to replicate as a five-star match. I was at WrestleMania 10 when that match happened, and, man, I was just like, what a visual sight that was as a kid. And Razor, to me, was like one of the big guys. So I definitely think he deserves a Hall of Fame. The Scott Hall thing, I think they're going to induct the NWO as a faction, and that will be a Scott Hall thing. You know, I was quite surprised they didn't mention it, but you know what? Razor Ramon is the character in WWE that he became, you know, and that is a character people remember him more as, I think, more than Scott Hall, NWO. I think more WWF fans, anyway, would remember that. So I'm very happy he's going to the Hall of Fame. It's pretty cool to see him there. I think this Hall of Fame class is probably as good as the WrestleMania 21 class.
Okay, I don't pay attention to Hall of Fame classes, so I'll just take your word for it.
Well, go look it up. So,
all right, I'll do that. Okay, I'll be sure to do that. All right, I know you said earlier you have to go. Are you gonna call in? Are you gonna call in early today, TLD?
Yeah, I have to shower after my long volleyball match. I won 5 out of 6 matches tonight, so I gotta go shower, get freshened up, and that's it. Catch up on Main Event, see what happened, and that's it. So, good talking. Hopefully next week we have a show, and we have a lot of WrestleMania talk to talk about next week.
Yeah. Thankfully, we pretty much went over the undercard. I wanted to go over the undercard this week, so next week we could just focus solely on the main events, you know, because, you know, this whole Daniel Bryan, Triple H thing, you know, main event, triple threat match, all types of potential swerves, and I just wanted to save that for a separate show altogether, you know, because there's many fans that are very invested in that feud. Thanks again for calling in, TOD.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
All right. Alrighty, that was TOD, and I see Ron is still holding. I'm going to check on Ron to see if he's still conscious. Hey, Ron, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, is there anything else you want to talk about before we call it a night?
I mean, you guys already touched on everything, you know? You know, props to Bray Wyatt, man. He's the only reason I might be interested in the match with him and Cena, because, you know, Bray is actually, you know, he's basically carrying this match, and it's hard. I think it's not in Cena's nature to cut serious promos anymore, and, you know, and then when he do cut it, I mean, we all don't buy it, you know. Like, he's forcing himself to cut these serious promos, especially with a program like this. You know, it just seems out of place. And now they're doing the WCW Hogan versus Warrior vignettes when Cena's in the bathroom and he sees the goat mask. He turns around and he's like, "What the hell?" You know, they're turning this to Hogan versus Cena versus the Dungeon of Doom.
Oh no! You know what? The crazy part is Bray Wyatt would fit right in. He would fit right in the Dungeon of Doom. I never even thought about it. It didn't even cross my mind. That's pretty cool. So right now, Ron, of all the matches on Mania 30, which one are you looking forward to the most? Or which match would you say you're the most invested in?
Triple H and Bryan, because I want to see the finish. I wonder what kind of finish they use. I think Bryan beats Triple H with a very horrid tight roll up. I don't see Triple H taking a mean. I don't know, but I do got a feeling something's going to happen, and that match is going to be a fatal four way. I think Vince might make a return that night and do something, but I see that match ending. They're going to have a shaky ending, in my opinion. Not WrestleMania 19 type of ending with Triple H pedigree, Daniel Bryan waste like 30 seconds to pin him, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think we all agree Bryan's gonna leave WrestleMania as a champ. It's just how they're gonna do it. That's what I'm looking forward to see.
They always say it's not the final destination, but the journey it takes to get there. I see Triple H Bryan, you know, just being a solid match. They'll probably go about 15 minutes, and this is Triple H. It'll go longer than that. I'll see them getting 20 plus minutes, and what I basically see happening is I see Bryan winning, beating Triple H, most likely with the running knee. I don't see Triple H tapping out. And then after Bryan wins, I see them repeating what they did at SummerSlam 2002, if you remember, when Shawn Michaels beat Triple H with I think HBK went for the sweet chin music, and then Triple H turned that into a pedigree, but then, like, HBK turned that, like, into a pin combination, and then he beat Triple H. And then after that, Triple H attacked HBK with the sledgehammer. You know, I see something like that happening. I see Bryan beating Triple H, and then, like, after the match, Bryan, like, you know, he'll hit Bryan, like, with a sledgehammer, like, to the knee or to the arm. You know, that way they can tell the story of, okay, he won and he'll be in the main event, but, like, can he make it to the main event with an injury or something like that? That's the kind of finish that I see. I see them doing the whole overcoming the odds kind of superhero. I know that sounds really cliche, but that's just how I see it happening. But I definitely agree with you. I think we can all agree that Daniel Bryan is going to win. I'm actually seeing some fans say they want Triple H to win just to piss off fans. I wouldn't do that unless you want a riot. That doesn't seem like a good idea. But yeah. No
man,
more Triple H title wins.
Man, after Chicago, I've lost all my faith in these fools rioting. Nobody's gonna riot no more, man. If they didn't do it last month in Chicago, ain't nobody gonna riot. Right.
Okay, but to be fair,
I don't.
You gotta admit. All right, but to be fair, you gotta admit that ECW crowd really would have rioted if John Cena beat RVD that night.
Yeah, those guys would have. But yeah, I don't think they're gonna go back to that crowd again. So.
Yeah, they're not. They haven't gone back ever since. So.
Yeah, man. Ain't nobody gonna stick in their head.
Yeah. Oh, man, one of my wet dreams is seeing Triple H versus Jeff Jarrett in the ECW crowd. Oh, man, can you imagine the run-ins and the amount of things they would chant? Actually, you know what, they probably wouldn't chant Jarrett that bad nowadays. Triple H, though? Yeah. Oh, well, Triple H was smart enough to keep himself away from the ECW arena. He was just conveniently injured both years. Whatever you say, Triple H, whatever you say. All righty. Anyway, thanks for calling in, Ron. If we have another show that I'll host, I'll be sure to invite you, man.
All right, thanks, bro.
All right, I'll see you later. All right, everybody, that's pretty much all we got for PWP this week. We're kind of going through some issues, so we're not going to really necessarily have a show every week. It might be every other week, but I guarantee you we will be doing something for WrestleMania, maybe a pre-show or a post-show. WrestleMania pre-shows are pretty exciting, for radio shows, because different fans call in, especially when fans are live at an event and they call in letting us know what's going on. So we will definitely do our best to have a show next week. And if not next week, we will have a pre-show, you know, on the day of Mania. We'll advertise and post on the page. You guys will know. Other than that, though, that's pretty much all we got. Less is more, as they say. So just going to end things to the King of Kings, Triple H. That nose, man. That nose. All right. See you guys later.
WrestleMania. You know, Jake Roberts, I'm well aware that you're familiar with the dark side, but are you familiar with the inside of a casket?
Oh, that's real funny, Gene. You know, what a wicked web we can weave when first we labor to deceive. Now, what I'm telling you is this. I've always said I was on the other side of the fence, and I ask you, oh yeah, it's where you were at till you're right with me. You can't ride the edge, brother, like I can. That razor's too sharp for you. So you think about this. WrestleMania. I'm going to get what I want.
You know, I was absolutely appalled, Jake the Snake Roberts, when during the course of the funeral parlor with Paul Bearer, all of a sudden, you took that steel chair and continued time and time again to pummel the back of the Undertaker.
Well, let's don't forget the fun part. Now, the fun part was slamming his hand in that casket and locking it. You see right there, you're a big rat caught in a big trap. Now, as far as me hammering you with that chair, oh, yeah, I raised that chair up high and I cranked it. And you know something? It felt good. It felt real good. Almost as good as slapping Elizabeth. Almost. But you see, that simple foreplay, man, look at this. Watch it now. Time and time and time again, it's like teasing, you know? Hanging the meat out in front of the animal, that's all I was doing. I tasted it, but I didn't finish it. I will finish it when the time is right. Nothing premature here. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the right time, and the right time's the Hoosier Dome. That's where it all comes apart. So crushing you with that chair was just child's play for me. Because you comes to WrestleMania, I don't play, brother. I will not play. So when the time is right, I will hook that DDT, and I'll crack your skull. The same way they would on National Geographic, Gene, nothing different. If there was a medal awarded in the Olympics for crushing seals' heads, baby seals on the ice, I would take the gold. I would take the gold. Why? It's a job that has to be done. It is a job that has to be done. And you are a job that has to be done, Undertaker. So when the time is right, yes, I'm going to hook the head and drive it straight through the mat. Big circle, big dot, that's going through. Then what will I do? Put you on a funeral pyre, brother, and turn up the gas. And if you say you know Satan so well, then you won't mind burning in hell.
Tonight's episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free, absolutely positively free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include that /PWP Radio. So they know we sent you. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Everybody who signs up helps support the show. Thank you very much and enjoy Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.